it's impossible for them to have. One more time, as the man said. Coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible and podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the daily show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. Today is Epistle Sunday. We'll read 1 Peter 4 and 5. I'm calling today's episode, Perspective. The show notes page for today is at lifespringmedia.com/S12E319, and my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Let's begin.
1 Peter chapter 4. Since Christ suffered while he was in his body, strengthen yourselves with the same way of thinking Christ had. The person who has suffered in the body is finished with sin. Strengthen yourselves so that you will live here on earth doing what God wants, not the evil things people want. In the past, you wasted too much time doing what non-believers enjoy. You were guilty of sexual sins, evil desires, drunkenness, wild and drunken parties, and hateful idol worship. Non-believers think it is strange that you do not do the many wild and wasteful things they do, so they insult you. But they will have to explain this to God, who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the good news was preached to those who are now dead. Even though they were judged like all people, the good news was preached to them so that they could live in the Spirit as God lives. The time is near when all things will end. So think clearly and control yourselves so you will be ready to pray. Most importantly, love each other deeply, because love will cause people to forgive each other for many sins. Open your homes to each other without complaining. Each of you has received a gift to use to serve others. Be good servants of God's various gifts of grace. Anyone who speaks should speak words from God. Anyone who serves should serve with the strength God gives, so that in everything God will be praised through Jesus Christ. Power and glory belong to Him forever and ever. Amen. My friends, do not be surprised at the terrible trouble which now comes to test you. Do not think that something strange is happening to you, but be happy that you are sharing in Christ's sufferings so that you will be happy and full of joy when Christ comes again in glory. When people insult you because you follow Christ, you are blessed, because the glorious Spirit, the Spirit of God, is with you. Do not suffer for murder, theft, or any other crime, nor because you trouble other people. But if you suffer because you are a Christian, do not be ashamed. Praise God because you wear that name. It is time for judgment to begin with God's family. And if that judging begins with us, what will happen to those people who do not obey the good news of God? If it is very hard for a good person to be saved, the wicked person and the sinner will surely be lost. So those who suffer as God wants should trust their souls to the faithful Creator as they continue to do what is right. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now I have something to say to the elders in your group. I also am an elder. I have seen Christ's sufferings, and I will share in the glory that will be shown to us. I beg you to shepherd God's flock, for whom you are responsible. Watch over them because you want to, not because you're forced. This is how God wants it. Do it because you're happy to serve, not because you want money. Do not be like a ruler over people you're responsible for, but be good examples to them. Then, when Christ, the chief shepherd, comes, you will get a glorious crown that will never lose its beauty. In the same way, younger people should be willing to be under older people, and all of you should be very humble with each other. God is against the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Be humble under God's powerful hand, so He will lift you up when the right time comes. Give all your worries to Him because He cares about you. Control yourselves and be careful. The devil, your enemy, goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to eat. Refuse to give in to him by standing strong in your faith. You know that your Christian family all over the world is having the same kinds of suffering. And after you suffer for a short time, God, who gives all grace, will make everything right. He will make you strong and support you and keep you from falling. He called you to share in His glory in Christ, a glory that will continue forever. All power is His forever and ever. Amen. I wrote this short letter with the help of Silas, who I know is a faithful brother in Christ. I wrote to encourage you and to tell you that this is the true grace of God. Stand strong in that grace. The church in Babylon, who was chosen like you, sends you greetings. Mark, my son in Christ, also greets you. Give each other a kiss of Christian love when you meet. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. In today's comments, I'd like to address chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Peter tells the older members to be shepherds to God's flock from a sincere desire and not for money, and to do so by providing a good example, not by lording it over them. And then he tells the younger folks that they should be willing to submit to the older people. And he wraps up this section by saying that they should all be very humble with each other. These verses grabbed my attention because I've been involved in the church since I was in my teens. So I've been a member of the younger crowd, and now I'm definitely one of the older crowd. I've been on both sides. You know, it's funny how we move through life. We're taking a side trip here, by the way. I'll get back to 1 Peter in a moment. Right now, my newest granddaughter, Penny, have I told you about her? Well, anyway, right now, pretty much any room she's in any crowd she's in, she's the youngest person in the room. Of course, she doesn't know that, but she is. So as we move through life, we go from being the youngest person in the room to being the average age of the population. And in most rooms you're in, many of the people are generally your age. And then we move to being an older person like I am, and in many cases, more so every year, I'm the oldest person in the room. I have to say, it's kind of a funny feeling. And to go from being the youngest person in your family, which I used to be, of course, including extended family, to being the oldest, as I am for the web branch of the family, it's kind of a humbling thing. Back to 1 Peter. When I was young, there was no doubt that the elders were in charge. Church was pretty much entrenched in the way things were done. But I gave my heart to the Lord right around the time that the Jesus Freak movement was born in the late 60s, early 70s, and a lot of changes began to happen. And by the way, I guess in some parts of the world like Australia, hi Kirsty, Jesus Freak is a derogatory term. Here it's not generally meant that way, so don't take offense at that. Here in the U.S., to be a Jesus freak just meant that you were somebody who was a bit of a hippie and loved Jesus. And that was me. But now, today, somehow, we've come to a point in today's culture where the older people in many churches no longer have a voice. They're not in charge. If you're older than 35 or 40, you just might as well find a seat. It's the younger people that have kind of taken control. Well, having been a young person right there when things began to change, and now being one of the elders in terms of age, I'm currently much closer to 70 than to 60, I have the benefit of perspective that the younger folks just don't have. It's impossible for them to have. They can't have the kind of perspective that an older person has. Now, several years ago, I attempted to hike to the top of Mount Whitney, the highest peak in the continental United States. I didn't make it all the way, but that's another story. But what I want to talk about now is that the view from the trailhead, the beginning of the trail that led to the top, well, that view was extremely limited because being in the forest, the trees limited the view. You couldn't see very far at all. But once you got on the trail and you were hiking for a couple of hours or so, you gained some altitude. And there were places where you could look out over the beautiful Owens Valley between the trees. You began to gain some perspective. And you could see for miles. And then after having been on the trail for several hours, you were above treeline. There was nothing to block your view and you could see even further because you were so much higher. Well, that's how it is with elders versus youngsters. The young people think that they know it all, but they're really just starting out on the trail. They don't know that there's so much more to see because they've never seen it. There's a reason that the Holy Spirit, through Peter, calls the elders to shepherd the flock. They're further along and higher on the trail. He doesn't call them because they're better, but because they've got the benefit of perspective. And the younger folks should humbly accept that with age comes perspective and hopefully, not guaranteed, but hopefully, wisdom. And then, of course, the elders should humbly teach and lead the younger believers. What do you think? Let me know. Go to lifespringmedia.com/S12E319. Tomorrow's Monday, so we'll read from the law. We're still in Deuteronomy, the last book we'll read from the law, and the chapters will be 13 through 15.
And now, as the French say, it is time for Le Boost.
this date in church history, July 17th, 1505. In Germany, 21-year-old Martin Luther entered the Erfurt Monastery of the Augustinian Eremites. I never knew this about Martin Luther, but after having survived a lightning strike, he vowed to become a monk, and he took his vows in 1506 and was ordained a priest in 1507. And then on this date in church history, July 17th, 1674, Isaac Watts was born. He was an English nonconformist clergyman and pioneer hymn writer. He's regarded as the father of English hymnody, and he wrote more than 750 songs, including When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, We're Marching to Zion, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed, and, you might have heard of this one, Joy to the World. On my show, Lifespring Hymn Stories, I featured a couple of Isaac Watts hymns. If you'd like to listen to those, I'll have the links on the show notes page at lifespringmedia.com/S12E319. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for giving us your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us and for helping us through the Holy Spirit to understand what it is you want us to do. We thank you for bringing believers together as a body, as a family. Your word tells us that we need each other and that you've given different people different gifts so that in the body they work together, with each one having a purpose. We thank you for that, Lord, and I ask that you would help us to humbly work together, no matter our age, our background, our education, our skin color, or any other differences we might have. What matters is that you have called us into your family, and when we have faith in Jesus, you actually adopt us into your family. What a marvelous gift of grace that is, Lord. Hallelujah. I ask for your blessing today on each one of us. Lead us, guide us, direct us. Thank you for bringing us together here as the LifeSpring family. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a prayer request or a praise, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. We'll share it on the show. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please do at lifespringmedia.com/S12E319. Scroll all the way to the bottom of the page. You'll see a box where you can put your thoughts. Send me an email at steve@lifespringmedia.com, and thanks to the team, Kirsty, Sean of San Pedro, and Denise. And hey, thank you for making me a part of your day. Let's do it again tomorrow. Are you glad the show is here? Are you getting something out of it? Well, then put something back into it. Support the show at lifespringmedia.com/support. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.